You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
Once you put that jersey on, you're part of that family and you represent something, you know, bigger than you. You know, trying to make sure our guys now understand that, like, you're not the first one that put this jersey on. There's many guys before you. It's about representing it the right way and doing it the right way, and keeping Del Valle where it needs to be, and upholding the standard that has been, you know, set in front of us before I got there.
And our guest this week is Mike Isgro. He is the head football coach at Division III Delaware Valley University out in Doylestown. He was a star quarterback for the Aggies, spent a long time as an assistant coach, and now he runs the program. And Mike, thanks so much for coming in.
I appreciate you having me.
So this was year one as a head coach. You know, now maybe a couple months removed from it. How'd you think it went? You guys had a lot of success, won a lot of games. Overall, how do you kind of classify year one?
It was a good first year. I know, where we wanted to be and where we wanted to end. You know, it wasn't, you know, up to what we wanted to do and what we set out for goals-wise. But you look back on the season, some things, you know, that we were able to accomplish and able to do, you know, is very good. Proud of our guys, how hard they work, how hard they prepared week in and week out. So, I mean, we always say it's tough to win football games, to still win eight of those games. Is it still a successful season, something to look at, something to grow off of, build on going forward. You know, and for us, we've won the conference the last couple of years, and having that setback this year, you know, gives you a little bit of chip on your shoulder going into the offseason, you know, that our guys have always had. But, a lot of these guys now on the roster haven't had that to, you know, what it's going to take to get back to that, get back to the top of the mountain, you know, competing at a higher level, you know, getting back to consistency and doing a lot of things that we need to do the right way to make sure we're prepared week in and week out. So those, you know, those games that we slipped up, you know, that doesn't happen again.
What was the biggest, after spending so many years as an assistant, when you're the guy behind the big desk, what was the biggest change for you? What was the biggest adjustment you had to make as the head coach?
I give all the head coaches out there, you know, a lot of credit for what they do. It was definitely a change, different feel, a lot more to deal with and handle. But, you know, I think just the, you know, all the day-to-day stuff, the behind the scenes, the other things that don't relate to football, kind of dealing with those a little bit, the X and O's parts where, you know, obviously that's a everyday thing that you're doing anyways, but some of the other stuff that, you know, you're dealing with, or, you know, trying to still be involved and trying to be the head coach, but still be, you know, be around every single guy and still have that connection to every guy, knowing that it's probably a little bit tougher since I'm on the offensive side, you know, is where, to me, I was always, you know, I did special teams and was on the offensive side, but that special teams gave me the opportunity to be around the whole team and be around all the guys on the defensive side. So, you know, I think the challenge was is still being a part of the special team, still being a part of what's going on the defensive side. You know, I felt like that was a little bit of a challenge to be able to do that, but also, you know, make sure the offense was prepared at the end of the day, you know, so we had our game plan and everything. But yeah, you know, it was challenging, fun, you know, definitely, you know, a lot of things to improve on and build off of, and we'll continue, you know, just like our guys, myself as a coach, whether I was assistant or head coach now, it's, you know, building off of and how can I get better? How can we, you know, help the team get better and our guys, you know, be better?
Anything surprise you? You're one as far as something that came across your desk or something that you didn't maybe quite realize that you were going to have to sign off on or be responsible for, or had you been around coaching enough that you kind of had a feel for everything that you were going to have a hand in?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Greco beforehand, you know, kept everybody very involved in what was going on. So I think, you know, kind of had an idea. I guess the bigger side of it was the amount of emails that come through on a day-to-day. Just trying to stay up to par on those and make sure you're getting back to everybody in a timely manner. You know, but from the most part, I think a lot of the stuff, you know, Coach Greco kind of, you know, was able to talk to him a bunch, so it kind of helped me, you know, leading into the season and week to week. I mean, we probably spoke every week, you know, on the weekend, things like that, you know, just checking in. But
and Duke Greco, former Del Valle coach, now the head coach at Westchester, alum of this podcast and one of my favorite people in the local college football scene. When you go from assistant to head coach within the same program, there's a dynamic shift, you know, as far as your relationship with the players, with the coaches. Was it difficult to navigate at first? Were there changes in that dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely changes going from the assistant to the head coach and different things you have to deal with. You know, but still try to be the same coach that I always was. You know, be there for the guys if they needed something, you know, whether they disagreed or, you know, something was going on outside of football. You know, still want to be that guy that they can lean on, that they could trust and know that, you know, I'm going to support them anyway, whether it's, you know, a good day or bad day on a football field. So, yeah, you know, it has those challenges. You know, with it, but I think from an overall perspective, still trying to be the same, you know, coach that I was as assistant, as a head guy, but knowing that there's a lot more that goes into it, knowing that, you know, there's a lot more that needs to be prepared, and, you know, fortunate that we have a great staff, and a lot of guys have been on staff for a long time. You know, special shout out to Coach Fedick. He's been there 20. This will be year 24 for him. He's kind of behind the scenes, but does a ton for Del Valle football and always has. So he kind of kept me in line on a lot of the behind the scene things to make sure I was up to par with that stuff. And obviously the football side of it, he does a great job. So, you know, there's definitely a ton of different aspect of it from the assistant to the head coach, but still try to be consistent in who I am as a coach, just knowing that it's a different role and, you know, be the same type of coach that I've always was and passionate and care about these guys and help them, not just football, but, you know, in life.
Did game day change for you, and how did you handle the responsibilities of game day that are different as a head coach when it comes to talking to the officials, when it comes to stuff like that? Did that take any getting used to, or were you pretty comfortable right away?
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely took some time to get used to. You know, usually it was just focused on, you know, the offense and special teams, and then you had to be prepared to what decision you wanted to make. You know, fortunate for us, you know, like I said, with staff wise, and, you know, brought in, you know, Mike Neal, who's a longtime DC, a former head coach as well as our DC now, so be able to lean on him and with some decisions and things like that. I think the different side of me, and some of the guys would, you know, mess with me about it, is I got a lot of energy. I'm, you know, trying to get guys going. So sometimes on game day now, I was a little bit quieter, just thinking of, hey, what do we got to do? You know, how getting ready for what, you know, what the game's going to have, and, you know, thinking ahead of, you know, trying to be 2, 4, 5, 6 steps ahead of what, you know, every decision that we make, you know, whether it's an offensive call or special teams or decision in the game or what we want to do. But, you know, I think, you know, having the guys around us, staff-wise, we do a great job, and just communication. But, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, trying to be a little bit, you know, calmer on the sidelines and doing that stuff for our guys to make sure that we're prepared and ready to go.
So let's dig into your backstory. Growing up in South Jersey, what is your earliest football memory? When did football really come into your life?
Football was always something a part of my family. I have two older brothers. My father was a football coach, so I mean, I could go back to being young, my brothers and I in the backyard, or even, you know, on Sundays, go over to my uncle's with my dad and my brothers, you know, playing football in the living room at my uncle's house, you know, setting up the couch cushions as the end zone, diving and, you know, making those type of catches. Or, you know, and then as we got older a little bit, my father coached high school football at Absagami for a long time. So, you know, me and my brothers would always be over there, you know, at practice and be involved. So, you know, it dates back a long time. Football's been in my family a long time. My father coaching for a long time, and it's just kind of been instilled, you know, in me. So,
how about, was coaching instilled in you as well? Like, you know, when you were playing, did you start to think that, you know, given your father and all that experience growing up, that it would be a part of your life at some point?
Yeah, I knew I always wanted to coach. You know, I wanted to teach and coach, and, you know, just kind of has led me to this position of just coaching now and still teaching. Teachers are coaches are teachers, just different elements of it, different sides and views of it. Yeah, I mean, coaching is always something that I wanted to do. You know, it's a different way for me to be still involved in the sport that I love and passionate about. So I think just being able to help the next generation, and, you know, whether it's on football or off the field, it's something I've always wanted to do.
Now, you were a good baseball player, too, growing up as well, right? Because you played both at Del Valle, didn't you?
Yes, I played both. I got lucky a good amount of times. I played baseball at Del Valle, too. And, you know, one of the reasons why I decided to go to Del Valle was the opportunity to be able to play both still, you know, and have that chance. And at the time, it was Coach Clem was the head coach, and, you know, he was all for it. And I know Coach Greco was a two-sport guy as well. But, you know, it was an opportunity for me to be able to play football and baseball.
Were they equal as far as in your heart? Love of the sport, was one ahead of the other? Did it depend on what season you were in to what was your favorite?
It really depended on the season. A lot of times for me, I knew, you know, towards the back end of the summertime, it was, you know, it was football mode. And then when football season ended, it was more of, you know, getting ready for the baseball season, you know, take time to heal, rest, and then get rolling again. So it was kind of really the season. The football has evolved so much now, especially at all levels and how much it's involved. So when I was in college, there was, you know, there was spring ball, but it was, you know, you weren't allowed to use a football. It was shorts and T-shirts or sweatpants and hoodies, and you were running around, you know, doing just drills. Now it's a little bit different where you can use a football. We're in helmets, we're in shoulder pads in the springtime. So, you know, it's changed. But, you know, when I was going through it, I think it was a little bit of, you know, the sport that I was in, I loved, and I tried to put all my time and passion into that while I was doing it. Just wanted to make sure I was doing it the right way for my teammates, you know, and make sure I was involved with that. So being able to do, you know, the workouts, the lifting and stuff with the football, but then still being able to do all the baseball stuff during that season.
Now, you were quarterback in football. What'd you play in baseball position-wise?
I pitched a little bit, played some outfield, played a little bit of the infield, some first base, some third base.
So a little bit of everything?
Yeah, did a little bit of everything. You know, if I pitched, then I would go play first base. Or, you know, if I didn't pitch, then I'd play a little bit of outfield. You know, freshman year, I played some third and shortstop. But, you know, at the end of it all, it was mainly first base or the outfield when I wasn't pitching.
When did you realize growing up that you were pretty good, that you were maybe getting a little more attention, having a little bit more success in both sports or either sports? Was there kind of a moment when you started to realize, like, all right, I might be able to take this further than most of my teammates and my friends?
Yeah, I don't know if there was ever a point where, you know, I thought I was better than something or better than others. I just, you know, my parents instilled hard work and continue to work. And if you want something, to keep chasing that, you know, and keep working on things. You know, I was fortunate, I think. Any great player has great teammates around them. You know, I think it kind of goes hand in hand. Every great coach is a great coach because of the players that they have around them. I know as cliche as that sounds, but football is not a one-man sport. Baseball is not a one-man sport. You know, for you to drive in runs, you got to, you know, somebody's got to be on base. You're not going to strike out, you know, every batter that you face. So, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a lot of great teammates and a lot of guys around me. And, you know, I look back to high school, the amount of guys that I played with then that, you know, had scholarships when I didn't, or even, you know, guys that had the opportunity to go on and play college football, you know, just from our senior class was a big group. So, you know, I was pretty fortunate enough there. I think, you know, all my success is credited to the guys that I had the opportunity to play with, you know, my teammates, you know, my coaches, and, you know, also my parents instilling that hard work. And if you really want something, you want to achieve something, you want to be, you know, want to be good at something, to continue to work for it, it's not going to be given to you. You don't want the shortcuts. You want it to be challenging. You want it to be difficult, because that's going to make you better in the long run. It's going to set you up for not just that sport, but life after that sport.
You referenced that they're both team sports, and they are. But I do think as a pitcher and then as a quarterback, it's a fascinating dichotomy when it comes to the mental part of the game. Because as a quarterback, obviously you start everything, but you are very – you have to have the other 10 guys, everybody going in the right direction. You can't operate on your own. Whereas with a pitcher – you've got the guys behind you, but you really can be zoned in to what I need to do. That is a fascinating, you can be in different mind spaces, be competitive, be a good teammate, but the way the mind works and how you focus can be completely different. Am I crazy with that?
No, absolutely. I mean, you always, as a competitor, you know, it's, you know, as you're pitching, it's, you know, it's you versus that guy in the batter's box. But, you know, the plus is, you know, you have those guys behind you, but, you know, at every time, you know, you're always trying to strike everybody out just as that mindset or, you know, make a great pitch. And, you know, and in football wise, you're trying to make every play that you can, but make the right play for the team, you know, whether it's, you know, getting to a run play or pass play, whatever it is, making the right read, delivering the ball on time, all that stuff. You know, so there is different, you know, your mind does go different directions in those sports for sure. The competitor side of it, you know, and then when you have the opportunity football wise to run the ball and, you know, it's you versus somebody else in that hole or in open field, making sure that, you know, you win that rep for the team and whatnot. So
you mentioned that being able to play both sports was one of the reasons why you went to Del Valle. How does an Absogami High kid from South Jersey end up in Doylestown? Like, what was your first connection? What opened the door to you becoming an Aggie? Were there other schools, like maybe if you wanted to just play football, were there other schools that were interested, just play baseball, other schools and they're interested? What was the recruiting process like for you?
Yeah, it was a long time ago now, but there was, you know, I had other schools, other, you know, opportunities. I was fortunate enough to be able to talk to some other schools, visit other schools, you know, but Del Valle just kind of felt like home to me. You know, obviously going up there, meeting Coach Greco, you know, contacted him, talking to him a good amount through the recruiting process. Actually, a former guy used to coach at Del Valle, Coach Rahill, you know, recruited me, came down to the school, talked to me, and then got me up for a visit. You know, just meeting Coach Greco and, you know, Coach Clem, it just felt like home, two guys that I could play for, you know, and I think that kind of just put it over the edge and having that opportunity to be able to play baseball for Coach Altieri that was there, the longtime coach, you know, meeting those guys and just being up at Del Valle. You know, I think just the home aspect of it just felt right. You know, small, tight-knit community, school-wise, campus, just kind of fit everything that I kind of wanted to do. So that's kind of how I ended up there and, you know, was fortunate enough to, you know, to be there all 4 years and have a good career. So thankful for that.
Kind of take me through how did the 4 years playing the two sports. Obviously, you come in as a freshman and you start camp for football. Is there any baseball mixed in the fall when you can fit it in? Or is it then as soon as football's over, you know, you start training and then baseball starts a couple months? Kind of take us through as a dual sport athlete who played a lot in both sports, how you kind of balanced it.
Yeah, I think it was whatever that sport was, I was focused on that sport. And when it was football season, you know, my baseball coach, Coach Altieri, was, you know, hey, focus on that sport. It's that team's time. You know, be around that team. If there's anything baseball-wise you can make, be at. And then when we got to the springtime, it was kind of the same. You know, when it was baseball season, go focus on that. Coach Clem was big on that. Go focus, be around those guys. You know, if there's anything you can make football-wise, be there. You know, obviously, I wanted to be there at everything I could. You know, I wanted to try to practice in both. But throwing a baseball, then trying to throw a football. At the same time, you know, we couldn't throw a football in the springtime, so you weren't really missing much of the throwing side of it. It's more the reps, the mental side of it, the working out, being around the team. So it was mainly just whatever season it was, that was the team I was focused on and, you know, preparing myself to, you know, for that team, whether it was pitching that coming week or whether it was getting ready for the football game, really just try to focus on that sport.
Did your throwing motions complement each other in baseball and football? Or did you have to, after throwing or pitching baseball, when it was time to throw a football, did you have to kind of get back into the groove of throwing football? Is it a different dynamic, different arm angle, stuff like that?
No, I mean, I think I'd have to go back and look, but I think they were pretty similar throwing motions or angles for me when it came to throwing a baseball or, you know, throwing a football was pretty similar for me. So, but every guy's different. You know, some guys it changes. There's a lot of two sport guys, you know, that it's a little bit different for them.
From a football standpoint, I think you started pretty much all 4 years at quarterback. Coming in as a freshman and starting right away, what was the adjustment like to speed of the game? I'm sure you probably much bigger playbook in college than you had in high school. Like, did it feel overwhelming at times, or did it feel right? Like, okay, it's a little better, but I'm going to be able to do this.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was fortunate enough to come in, you know, win out the job, competed with a lot of great other quarterbacks. Was fortunate enough there. You know, it was definitely a challenge. It wasn't easy. You know, you're learning a new offense, new scheme, you know, going through all that. But, you know, I think Coach Greco did a great job of, you know, trying to simplify things, make it a little bit easier, knowing that it was all new to me. So week to week, you know, things like that. So, you know, I think just the challenge of, you know, figuring out the scheme of it, trying to control the speed of the game, because it is, you know, did get a little bit faster. It's, you know, speeds up a little bit, you know, so just trying to make sure, you know, during the week, the preparation to be prepared for each game and each situation was, you know, was a big, big thing. But, you know, Coach Greco did a great job of, you know, making sure I was ready to go and, you know, not putting us in wrong situations or bad situations, I guess, from that standpoint. But
we need to take a break on One-on-One. We will have more with Mike Isgrow in just a few moments. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda. KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's get back to our conversation with Delaware Valley University head football coach Mike Isgrow. When you think back to your time playing at Del Val, you won a lot of games, you had a lot of success, NCAA playoffs, you know, first team all-conference, tons of touchdowns, stats are great. But what are your favorite memories when you think back to your playing days? Are they moments in a game, or is it bus rides, meetings, hanging out after practice? Like, what comes to the top of the memory bank first when you think back to your playing days?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the, you know, being around the team, being around the guys. You know, we had some pretty tight groups, some good groups. You know, was fortunate enough there. I think, you know, definitely a couple games here and there. Obviously, my first college game, you know, very first play of the game, I opened up the wrong way, you know, and threw the ball sideways because we were throwing like a, you know, bubble or screen out there. So, you know, I'll never forget that day. And, you know, Coach Clem yelling, "What are we doing?" So that was always, that's something that I remember. And then, you know, the big games, you know, those opportunities to play in the playoffs and in those big games, you know, playing Wesley College when we, you know, beat them on a last second touchdown down at the goal line, you know, was a huge game. You know, the bus ride homes after big games, you know, being in the locker room with the guys celebrating, you know, and just things that come along with being on a team and being on a successful team, the camaraderie and, you know, the support you have from those guys, and still talk to a ton of those guys. And now still being back at Del Valle, fortunate enough to be able to see a lot of those guys when they come back and support the guys, you know, because it is a tight group. Once you put that jersey on, you're part of that family and you represent something, you know, bigger than you. You know, trying to make sure our guys now understand that, like, you're not the first one that put this jersey on. There's many guys before you. It's about representing it the right way and doing it the right way, and keeping Del Valle where it needs to be and upholding the standard that has been, you know, set in front of us before I got there and, you know, as a player and then back as a coach and now in the situation that I am now. You know, it's there's a ton of great memories, ton of great times with teammates that I'll cherish, you know, forever. You know, a lot of big moments, a lot of big games. So a ton of fun.
To the point of, you know, making sure everybody realizes when you put that jersey on what it means. The idea that you were a former quarterback there who won, who I'm sure walking through the team house, there are things with your name on them. Anybody goes to the website, it's going to look at the list, it's going to see your name littered all over the record book. Does that give you even extra when it comes to dealing with the players as far as the Del Valle way and what it means to be an Aggie because you have lived it? And does that provide even more cachet with the players, you think?
I think a little bit. You know, I don't think that you need to be from there to be able to coach there or go through that. You know, you look at a lot of great coaches, they're not coaching where they, you know, they played. But I think that does, you know, it helps in some ways that I do know the back history of the program and what it was before to what it is now. And just being around up there and, being around the football aspect of it. So there is, you know, a standard that was set before, you know, before I got there that kind of turned the tables. You know, I talked about Coach Fedick earlier. He was there at the in the beginning when it wasn't so great that kind of turned it around. So he's been there through the ups, through the downs, and then back to the top. And he's a guy, Coach Fedick is a guy that didn't play there. So, you know, he knows what it takes. So, yes, I think it has a plus to it as well. You know, the guys see that and understand that it means a lot more. You know, we're invested in it. It's something that we enjoy, and, you know, we love Del Valle football. I love Del Valle football. So just seeing it continue to grow, continue to get better, and hopefully, you know, as we set out every goal every year, it's get to the top, you know, and that's the main goal.
As someone who has covered Del Valle football, I think that part of the special sauce of the success of the now more than two decades that the program has had, you know, you mentioned Coach Fedick been there forever, but you go back, G.A. Mangus was the guy that kind of put the flag in the ground and got it going in the right direction and got it at a high level. And then Jim Clements, who was there, takes over, you know, defense core. He becomes the head coach. And then when he leaves, Duke Greco, who was already there, who was in Aggie, takes over. He leaves. You, who quarterbacked, was an assistant, you take over. There's just this deep, almost marrow-deep connection that the program has had to the past, to the success, and you guys just kind of keep rolling. But every time there's a change, the people that move up and take over understand what the program's all about. And you do not see that at a lot of places. And like I said, from the outside looking in, I have always thought that was part of your special sauce at Del Valle and why you guys have the standard that you have. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that, you know, those coaches before me have kind of set and instilled. And then it goes to, you know, kind of trickle down effect. Like those guys have instilled that. And then those leaders get older and then they instill it in the young guys. And then those young guys go through it for the 4 years and then they kind of instill it in how it's supposed to be done. And this is why it's done this way. And this is why we work so hard. And this is why we put so much time into it. And then it just kind of, you know, everybody kind of falls in line a little bit, making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do to make sure Saturdays and, you know, all that is successful and we continue to do it the right way. You know, because like I stated before, there's a lot of great guys that have put a Del Valle football jersey on. You know, it's a privilege and an honor, I always felt like, and we try to preach that to the guys. Like, somebody else put that number 2 on before you did. Somebody else put that number 98 on before you. You know, represent that number, man, the right way. Represent this program the right way. And that's just playing at a different level and taking your game to a level that you didn't think that you could take it to, you know, on Saturdays. And, you know, just trying to get to that point every week to motivate our guys. But I think they understand it, you know, what has been here before, and trying to uphold that, you know, and trying to live that out and do it the right way for the guys that have come before us. But at the same time, setting our own path to how we're going to do it, or how, you know, each guy and each group is going to do it, each senior group. And I think, you know, this senior class that just graduated, it's a great group. It's a big group stuck together. They won a lot of games together. But they've kind of set that foundation, and now you get this class that's coming up now that, you know, we had that setback. We got knocked off, and now it's, what do we got to do? Last year we worked hard, but that working wasn't good enough to get us where we're trying to go. Now we got to raise the bar and raise the level of what we're trying to do, and that's, you know, not slipping up, but holding each other accountable to make sure we do it the right way as well. So I think it's just been over the years, the, you know, obviously the coaches, but players make great coaches, and our seniors, and kind of the trickle down effect to, hey, this is how it's done. This is how it needs to be. And getting the right guys in that understand that. We tell guys on recruiting that there's nothing fancy. Del Valle's a great place. It's going to feel like home. It's an awesome campus. It's small, tight-knit, but, you know, we want guys that love football, are passionate about it. You're going to get a great degree, but do you love football? And if you love football, you're going to fit in with our guys, and you're going to be successful, you know, moving forward. So
when you were playing, do you feel like, given, you know, your dad was a football coach and you kind of saw the game, you were around the game that much, and you knew you wanted to coach, do you feel like you played – when you played, did you see the game as a coach to a certain point? Do you feel like you were breaking things down maybe in a little bit of a different way because just that coaching DNA and that eventual want to coach?
Yeah, I would say in some terms, yeah. You know, every every player that's ever had their dad as a coach knows that, you know, probably on the car ride home or when you get home, you're talking about the game or the event, you know, and what you could have done better. And, you know, then your parents pushing you, and my father did that, is, you know, just like anybody else would, to help me understanding or see it, you know, and still to this day, you know, after a game, I'm talking to him or whether he's at the game, you know, hey, how about this or how about that? So he's very involved with the football side of it. He's passionate about football. He's been around, you know, so he knows the game. So being able to lean on him with questions and certain situations and things like that's definitely a plus. But, you know, from that side of it, yeah, I think that, you know, obviously having my father as a coach and being able to watch me and teach me and, you know, having somebody there that knew the game and understanding, I think it definitely, you know, benefited me.
So you graduate, you had a ton of success. We mentioned as a quarterback, you also had a ton of success playing baseball. I think you were, when you left, you were the program's home run and RBI leader. So you weren't just dabbling in two pools. Like, you were performing at a high level at both.
The wind always blew out.
Hey, you take it where you can get it,
that's
man.
That's it. That's it.
So, you know, you want to coach. Like, kind of tell me, you graduate, you're ready for the next step. Like, you end up at Cedar Creek High School, I think, in South Jersey, which was brand new at the time. We're talking, what, around 2010, 2011, yeah, around there?
2010.
So what's the connection? What gets you in the door?
Yeah, so actually my high school coach, two of my high school coaches, you know, were in that school district. They built the new school, Cedar Creek. You know, myself and my best friend were graduating at the same time. You know, we knew we both wanted to teach and coach. And, you know, we got that phone call about, you know, coming back and helping out and coaching. And then, you know, Coach Tim Watson is a great coach, he's a high school coach down there in South Jersey. He's won a lot of games, a lot of championships, and everything he's been a part of. He's been successful. He's one of my high school coaches. And Coach Parker was, Scott Parker was going to be the principal of the school there. So kind of, or actually the athletic director. And they, you know, they called, and Tim was going to be the head coach there. He was starting the program, and, you know, he called us, myself and my best friend to go be a part of it, and if we wanted to do it. So I still had to do my student teaching and everything. So I was fortunate enough, Del Valle allowed me to do that back home. So I was able to do that in South Jersey and then still be over there and coach. So that kind of got me into it. It was a, you know, brand new program. We started as a JV program the first year. Then we went to, you know, into the league playing varsity games. But, you know, Coach Watson just kind of, he said, look, I want you to call the offense and, you know, be the offensive coordinator. And I said, I've never called a play before. He's like, you know, we'll be fine. I'll help you through it. You'll be good. You know, I trust you. You'll get it done. You'll prepare. So then it was just a matter of, you know, put the playbook together, took a lot of stuff I did in high school and at Del Valle and kind of broke it down a little bit, changed some things. And then, you know, that first year we called a JV game, JV schedule. So he was like, look, you'll be able to learn, we'll grow from there. And then, you know, was there for the 5 years. You know, I coached baseball there as well at the school. So it was a great setup, you know, obviously having, you know, two of my high school coaches there in my corner to support me and help me through it. Scott was the athletic director that was, you know, at that time. So he helped me with a lot of the offensive stuff as well in the beginning. And then, you know, Coach Greco called me a couple times to come back up to Del Valle in that time frame, and just didn't know if I wanted to at the time. And then, you know, kind of finally ended up there at back at Del Valle after probably second or third time. You know, Coach Greco called me to come back, you know, to coach there. So I got to give credit to my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife. She's the one who kind of pushed me to go do it. You know, I'm a homebound guy. That was home to me, just trying to get out of there. And she said, look, you love coaching, just go do it. So then I went and did it, and that's where I'm at today. So, you know, thankful for all those opportunities, and, you know, everybody encouraged me to do it. And, you know, we won a championship our last year at Cedar Creek, my last year at Cedar Creek. So Coach Watson said, hey, no better time to get out than when you're on top. So, you know, then after that January in 2015 is when, you know, went back up to Del Valle, and, you know, been fortunate ever since. So
I'm curious for your opinion, because I get a 50-50 split on this question. As a play caller, more art or science, in your opinion?
A little bit of both, I think. You know, there's an art to it, obviously. There's a science to it, everybody being in sync. The art to it is the flash of it, the you know, how you get there and how you do it. You know, it's football's been around forever. You know, I always do all the plays, everybody's running. Somebody else probably ran it before or done it a different way, or, you know, just changed the name or done it differently, you know, and it's just evolving off of that. How can you, you know, become better at it? And that's where you get into a lot of like the RPOs and a lot of that stuff and, you know, pulling guys, but still being able to throw the ball in protection, you know, different things like that. So I think it's a little bit of both, you know, in that side of it. You know, you have the perfection side of it, which is, you know, probably a little bit more of the science, I guess. And then the art side of it is how you get to it, the creativeness to make that play successful. And, you know, can you trick the defenders and put them in a bad situation where you could confuse them? So I think a little bit of both, I guess. I know that's the easy way out answer, but I do think it's a little bit of both.
You've had high level success as a player, as an assistant coach and as a head coach. Does success hit differently in the different roles? Does it feel different depending upon your role in it? Like a big win as a coach, do you relish it differently than when you had a big win as a player?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a little bit. You enjoy it, I feel like, a little bit more, at least for me. I enjoy it a little bit more, I think, as a coach than a player, because for me as a coach, I get to see the joy of our guys and their success and their, you know, the work that they put in and the time that they put in. I get to see that, you know, them succeed on a Saturday. You know, I think that I've always enjoyed that, or, you know, a guy hitting a milestone or, you know, doing something, you know, special, or, you know, I've always kind of enjoyed that of the coaching side of it. So I think that part of it for coaching for me is always great, because you get to see a young man grow and achieve things that maybe they didn't think they could achieve. And then they did achieve it, or they did accomplish it, you know, at a high level. So I think that success or that joy is a little bit better. You know, granted, I enjoyed winning as a player and, you know, winning with my teammates and having that. But I think coaching, you know, gives you a little bit more, because you get to see the joy, at least for me, the joy in our guys and all the hard work that they've done and put in, not just, you know, a day before, but, you know, when these guys get back, that they put in all this time and all this work, that when it shows up on Saturday, it's definitely something special to see. And I cherish those moments.
As a head coach, and we talked earlier about, you know, the emails and things that aren't football that you have that go along with the job, does having all that on your plate, all these things you have to deal with, do you relish the football a little more, because that's almost like the prize you get for dealing with all the other stuff now? Like when you're an assistant, you're basically coaching. It's all football. But as a head coach, there are so many things, especially at the Division III level, that are going to fall on your plate that have nothing to do with what RPO we're running on third down and stuff like that. Like, do you find yourself relishing the football part a little bit more now because it's not something you get to do all the time like you did as an assistant coach?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as an assistant, I used to be able to go next door and, you know, Coach Greco's a little fired up and I'm like, ah, what's the matter? And I'm just, you know, laughing, having a good time. And he's like, ah, it must be nice. You know, so now I get to see that side of it. So, you know, we still joke about that. So, you know, those things behind. But, you know, as an assistant, just being able to coach and do all that and the recruiting side of it a lot more and be more, you know, into it, you know, it definitely is a little bit easier, I would say. But, you know, it is what it is. It kind of comes with the spot, you know, just kind of take it as a challenge. Like we tell our guys, you know, it is what it is. Can't control it. Just got to take it and move on and continue to, hey, how can we fix the problem instead of complaining about it? Hey, let's fix it. Let's get it right. Or whatever it is that needs to be done. Or, you know, if there's emails that got to be answered, they got to be done. So, you know, but the assistant side of it is, I always mess with Coach. I enjoy sitting in the, you know, the back seat of the bus, hanging out, you know, and just riding along and doing my job. But now, obviously, in a different role, you know, got to do more and step up and do those things. So, you know, I'm thankful for those opportunities too.
Did getting your first head coaching opportunity at your alma mater, do you feel like that added more pressure because you knew what the program was about? You already had a reputation with the program as a player, as an assistant coach. Maybe pressure's not the right word, but did you feel more taking over this program than if you had been named the head coach at another school in the conference, where it's a big step, but it's not a place where you've already got a reputation, where you've already got a connection? Taking over your alma mater, do you think it hits differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think it hits a little bit different. You know the place, you know what's come before you, and Del Valle's been successful, so it's about maintaining that and being even better. It's a, you know, I don't like to, you know, you don't want to let anybody down, but that wouldn't be why I'm doing it. It's I don't want to let myself down or our guys down. You know, you want to make sure, like, I love winning. That's why I do it. You know, that's why I love to compete. That's why I've always done sports. So when you're coaching, that's what you love to do anyways. You're going to want to compete. So whether there was pressure or whether there was, you know, winning before that, that's the past. It's about now. What can we do to make sure we're good and continue to be good? You know, so yeah, there's, you know, yeah, the pressure word or things like that. You know, I think it's more of, you know, doing it the right way and being successful the right way and continue to make everybody proud at the university and the alumni and doing all that and getting the right guys in, you know, in the program to make sure we're continuing to do that. You know, Del Valle was, like we said, you know, successful before Coach Clem got there, and then before Coach Greco got there, it was successful, you know, before I got in this position. So it's about continuing that. You know, but it definitely means a little bit more, I guess, because it's something that you've invested a lot of time and a lot of your life there. Whatever, you know, 4 years of college sports there, and then, you know, really 4.5, and then, you know, the 9 years I've been back here. So, you know, you invest a lot of time into it. You spend a lot of time there. So, yeah, I guess the, you know, upholding the standard and continue to be successful is what drives me, you know, and what I hope drives our guys. It's the winning part of it, the enjoyment of winning, the enjoyment of success. You know, that's the part that I think that motivates me. It's not what somebody says or what somebody's done. It's the motivation within myself that's going to, you know, make sure I'm doing what I need to, but then also try to make sure our guys are prepared to be successful as well.
And my final question, somebody watches, interacts, plays against your team, what is the number one thing you want them to take away that Del Valle football under Mike Isgro is all about?
I want our guys to be passionate, you know, but disciplined and passionate and being a team that's just relentless, but relentless the right way between the whistles and doing it all the right way, and a team that's having a lot of fun. You know, I don't want our guys uptight. I want our guys to enjoy the moment, enjoy the time together, because when it's gone, it's gone. So I think from the outside looking in, I think Del Valle football, respectful young men who do it the right way, that compete at a high level, that fly around, care for each other, and play for each other. I think you're going to be very successful if you care and respect the guy next to you, you know, a lot more than, you know, somebody that you're not. You know, you're going to play harder for your family than you're going to play just for some other person. So I think for our guys, it's that family aspect. Make sure we still have that, because that's what Del Valle is all about, family. Continue that and just our guys, the enjoyment of football, the enjoyment of success, and continue to be successful and passionate, disciplined, and hard workers. You know, but at the same time, once it's over, doing it the right way off the field too. You know, to represent the university and Del Valle football the right way, just as many have done before us. So,
Mike Isgro, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate everything you do.
And that will do it for this episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Delaware Valley University head football coach Mike Isgro for being our guest this week and coming in studio to chat. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor and leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening. And be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.